How to Lie with Statistics, Chapter 1, The Sample with the Built-In Bias.
Alright, so did you guys notice that it seems as though it's like impossible to ever really count on statistics in articles, since you never know if people were telling the truth or like what kind of sample they were using?
Yeah, I agree with you, Rose, because I found that interesting. I didn't realize how blatantly people lie in their articles. There was a case where they were talking about like the average pay for a house per year, and it was just like a straight up lie, and it was only like one person out of their whole community was worth a certain amount of money. And I found that interesting that when they say average, it can mean the average of your mean or the average of your mode, and I thought that was actually interesting.
Yeah. It's also kind of like in the first chapter when they talked about different college degrees and what that means as far as what you'll make when graduating from Yale, and how the surveys were from like a really small sample, so the chances of it being accurate or wrong. And I was wondering, like, is it okay to not, like, when creating a survey, is it okay to not ask the question directly and to put like a trick into it? Like, is that really okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No, because you won't, I believe you personally won't have accurate results if you put in a trick.
Yeah.
Not only that, was people were just being straight out unhonest about how much they were also making, which also...
they're embarrassed.
Yeah, it ruined the whole...
So then it's hard to know, even if the data, even if you don't portray it wrong, then, like, is your data even accurate? Okay, so do you guys remember in the end of chapter one, when they were talking about the literal digest or something like that, and talking about how it means that there's like a bias in interviews to go towards the person with more money and more education and stuff like that. Do you guys think that that actually is a thing, like that people really do make interviews that point more towards those kinds of people?
I think so. I think that's a definite reality, because if you see mostly on the news, upper class people getting the interviews, I don't know if that really has
definitely
to do with...
I feel like it depends. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes, like, with articles or things like that they want to read, they want to have the people have the best answers. And so I feel like that would gear towards people that are more educated, but then you're also missing this whole side of people's opinions and thoughts. But...
And I agree. I think it's more actually, like, on-paper type interviews and less TV interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, in magazines, like, Time.
Yeah, because TV interviews will just take anybody that's around.
Exactly.
But paper, then you have more time. But I guess, like...
it's more planned out.
And more people. Yeah. You can possibly do more people, so you can get, like, an overall...
Well, they should, but then
they
don't.
They should, but they don't.
They,
yeah, that's a...
they cheat, and they go the one way that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are really bad with, like, getting samples and stuff. Like, towards the end of chapter one, they were talking about how do you get a random sample with stratification? Mm-hmm. And it was like they were saying that the obvious thing is to start with a list of everybody and go after names chosen from it at random, but that is too expensive. So they switched to, like, interviews, and then, like, interviewing people at their houses, like, knocking on the door and just interviewing them. And then sometimes, and then it says you switch to evening interviews and then neglect the moviegoers and nightclubbers. So it's like they can never get the right sample, I feel like.
Unless you take that extra mile, but then the extra mile is expensive if they're too lazy. So they don't want to do it. And so it's, like, really hard. And I think on page 22 it said something about, like, running a battle against sources of bias. So, like, no matter where you go, you're going to have some sort of bias coming from a group of people. Like, it's really hard, I think, to have an unbiased standpoint. So you just have to, I guess, know that it's biased. Like, I guess it's like, well, if all statistics is biased, then what are you supposed to do with it?
I think so.
Okay, well, let's talk about the well-chosen average, chapter 2.
So I think, Rob, you were kind of talking about this earlier with the different houses and all the averages, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just interesting how one person's average can completely change the outcome of everyone around you, because when you're offered a house for $15,000,
yeah,
and your insurance company or mortgage company or real estate company is saying, you know, oh, this is a great place, everyone in here is making a decent living, but you find out that they just took the average of one man and compared it to a poorer neighborhood, and it raises the price and the average of everyone in that area. And I just thought that was an interesting concept.
I feel like that ties back with what we were talking about before in chapter mm-hmm. one, the sample ones. So it's like the sample that they chose was only one man, and mm-hmm. then how that, it just, it's interesting how that can change the entire thing, just like based on only one person.
So do you guys think that there should be some sort of rules for averaging in advertisements to help companies stay accountable?
Mm-hmm. I think there should, but the hard part is that they're not lying, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In there, it's a loophole because
to hide something.
They're hiding what they don't want you to hear,
right.
But at the same time, they're backing it up with facts that are accurate.
It's not really a lie because it is an average. Like, they're not making it up. It is actually an average. They're just not telling you which one it is. If it's the mode, if it's the median.
Yeah. So there should be, so like, I guess.
There should be an upfront rule where it shows that you have to show the average of, like, the,
yeah, like which one you chose.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Because I feel
which
like,
ones do you think would work the best? Like, which one do you think they should do?
Well, I guess it depends, like, on for the housing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it should be the average, like, the actual average of everybody. Or, like, or I guess maybe the average.
The mean?
Like,
I feel like it should be the mean.
I don't know, because then the mean is getting thrown off by that one person who has all that large amount of money.
Yeah.
So maybe it should be, the mode's the one where they
that's
have.
True.
The thing
the
is
the most common one, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one that
yeah.
is the most.
I feel like that's
yeah.
the average
that's
that they
true.
Should be using.
The thing is also, which is kind of interesting, I feel like even if you put what average it is, most people wouldn't understand still.
That's true.
What you have, because a lot of people, I don't think.
But at least it's more upfront,
the,
right?
It's more upfront, but I still think the common
yeah.
people would be like, oh, okay.
So I guess
still
I wonder
good.
If they should have more concrete rules, like you're not allowed to use this average. If you're talking about this, you have to use this average.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
To have more accurate results.
Yeah, but I guess it'd be really hard to keep that accountable because there's so much advertising everywhere that it's really hard to enforce that rule.
Yeah,
they just choose whatever like looks
yeah.
the best.
I'm sure they would find another way around it too, just show you another BS average that has nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
your housing.
Yeah.
Just find a way around it.
So now we're going to talk about little figures that are not there. Chapter 3.
Sarah, you had something about it, right?
I did. Actually, I have two. The first one was that when they were talking about the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
That they were saying that they were doing an experiment. And then 450 children were vaccinated in the community, and 680 were left unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And then it was interesting to me how neither of them got the, what was the disease?
Oh, right. Was it?
It was a polio.
Polio?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, wait, so none of them got it? Even if they were, like, vaccinated, and even the ones that weren't like that, they none of them got it? Like, the controlled
mm-hmm.
ones. But I just thought that was really interesting.
Another thing about that I also found interesting was they said the sample space for that wasn't even large enough to have an accurate experiment take place. So basically, like, it just goes to show that the sample spaces have to be really
yeah.
thought out, and actually the experiment has to be put together correctly if
yeah.
they don't
yeah.
go through with it. Because now they know they just wasted money, they wasted time, and then you don't even have proper data to back any up. Back there.
Yeah, because I think it said something about how like only two cases would have been expected
mm-hmm.
to get polio in that group size. So, I mean, no matter what, they wouldn't have been able, like the fact that no one got it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like you really shouldn't expect people to get it.
Another thing that I really liked was when they were talking about the houses, and the company said we build average houses for average families. And then the little figures that are not there were the families that were, like, that had a different amount of people than the average houses. Like, let's say the average house was, like, three people, but what about those families? So, like, they constructed the houses with three rooms, let's say, in one bathroom. But what about the really small families where it's, like, only two people?
Mm. Or
what about the really, or one? Or what about the big ones that it's, like, six people, and then it needs, like, more than a bathroom and different things? Those are, like, the little figures that are not really there. Because they're minorities, but they're still important.
I think it said something about how that three-person and four-person families make up only 45% of the total, and that 35% are one or two people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, even though it's more like 45% is more than 35, it doesn't mean that all houses should just be made that way, and it kind of is deceiving, because 45 isn't that large of a percentage. It's not even half of the population.
Yeah.
So it creates this problem where people think one thing just by how things are stated than what it really is.
Yeah.
So I think another thing that chapter 3 really talks about is deceiving charts and things like that, where they miss numbers, they just don't place them, and so then you have this different idea, like a trend line that goes up really fast, but you don't actually know how, like, the frequency that it's going up or what the y-axis data is, and then it creates this deceiving thing. It could really only be moving up decimal points. But
yeah, and that can have, like, a big effect on what the line looks like.
Yeah.
And also the way they phrase their things can be really, like, I don't know, different. Because when it was talking about the farms, then it was like, today electric power is available to more than 3/4 of U.S. farms.
Yeah.
So it's like, you think, oh, that's really good. Because, you know, more,
like,
than 3/4.
Available.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean
so
that,
like,
you can afford it or use
right.
it.
Right. So it, like, if you, when you look at it that way, you're like, oh, that's really good. But when you think about it, it's like, wait, almost 1/4 of the U.S. farms do not have electric power available today. Like, it's 2014. How does that even, you know, work?
It's really crazy.
They just know how to phrase it so it looks good.
They really do a great job with the wording and how it affects the statement that they're actually trying to make.
Yeah, definitely.
How to Lie with Statistics, Chapter 4, Much Ado About Practically Nothing.
Right. I mean, one of the things that really stuck out to me about this was the whole thinking about ranges and how, like, if you don't have the right range and you don't put in the thought about probable error, then, like, that's going to make even bigger errors. And I don't know, I never really thought about that.
I personally didn't find this chapter to be necessarily useful, just because I think the stuff that they discussed about with range is kind of obvious. You should know where your range is coming from, and you should be smart enough to ask where your data is coming from, because they can give you range from your median or your mode. And what they talked about in this was just the probable error and how that can affect your range, which I think is also a little interesting, just because some people might not know about probable error.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice, it's like a variable that's in there that they can talk about and discuss, and it can totally change your outcome of what you have.
Yeah.
It's important.
And they also kept talking about the sampling.
Yeah.
So, like, how they were talking before, like, sampling and how many people you interview. Let's say you're doing, like, a survey or something, and then how many people you interview, if it's enough, if it's not enough, like, whatever. And they kept talking about it, and they were talking about, like, something about a cornfield or something like that, that if you wanted to test how good the corn was, and you just started taking, like, random pieces from the entire field, that's not, like, good enough.
Yeah.
And when they were talking about the IQ test, I was really surprised about that.
Yeah, what part about it? Like,
because at first it was between a girl, Linda, and Peter. And then they took the test, and then Peter's IQ was 98, and then Linda's was 101. So that, we would think that automatically Linda is, like, a lot smarter than Peter would. And then they talked about how it's really not, and how that is not a way of measuring how smart a person is.
Yeah. Something else that really surprised me and kind of took me back is when they were talking about the old gold cigarettes, and they were saying how they found all this information and all this data, and they basically said that all the cigarettes were the same, and all the things that you didn't want, like, it was the same across the board, but of course there has to be some sort of ranking. And so once it got out, the old gold had the least amount of undesirable things.
Yeah.
That so then everyone was like, oh, then old gold's best
the
to
best
have. And it's like,
broke.
And then I think it said here that like, but the amount was so negligible mm-hmm. that people even stopped the advertising. But like,
yeah.
it's already out there, so people already have seen the advertisement and they've seen it. It's just crazy that people can like,
yeah,
get away
with
that.
That's definitely an interesting idea how enough, like less bad things in a cigarette automatically changes the way
yeah.
a bunch of people started looking at it.
Even though it was so negligible, the amount, but they didn't
yeah.
have to put the data out there. They
nope,
just had
they
to
just
say,
totally
technically,
reworded
exactly.
what they said.
And it's crazy.
And that's how their data...
I just wonder, like,
yeah.
how many advertisements we see in a day that does that, and then we get this idea that the product's so much better when it's, like...
When
it's
not.
Really not.
Like,
it's
iPhone,
really the
like,
same.
2% faster. Like,
yeah.
Well, they do it more to get, like, money.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
like
well, I mean, it's a great business tactic. I mean,
yeah.
it sucks for a consumer, but that's
for the business, it's really
way
good. And it's, like, kind
of
like a name brand
mm-hmm.
and, like,
oh, yeah.
grocery
that's
store brand.
Right.
Like, there's really no difference between
exactly.
the two. But everyone's like, but it looks so
but
much better.
Brand.
And
yeah.
they advertise it. Like,
well,
it's
that's
crazy.
The purpose of externalities.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny how, like, every year they come up with new iPhones. And honestly, they're,
mm-hmm.
like, the same.
They're really
they just
the same.
Change one
they
thing.
Make it a little bit longer. Like,
a little bit longer this time.
But it's
the
so much better.
A bit less.
Less
rat
undesirable.
And rat poison.
So that means it's good.
Like, yeah.
Do you want to talk about chapter 5 now?
Yeah. So chapter 5 is the G-Wiz graph.
Chapter 5, the G-Wiz graph.
This chapter was the one I've liked the most so far because it really, like, I don't know, I find it really interesting what they did to the graph that they were showing.
Yeah.
It was, like, the first graph that they show was, like, with the man and then the line. And then when I look at the y-axis, it goes from 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and
yeah.
it goes like that every two. But then they, like, stretch the graph to make it look different. And then, as you can tell, like, the line on the first graph is almost straight.
Yeah.
Like, well, not straight, but, you know, like, the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they change the y-axis, and it goes from, like, 20 to 20.2, 20.4, 20.6. And
like
then the line.
Drastic.
Yeah, the
mm-hmm.
line completely changes. And
changes.
It's funny because they put the face of the, like, the little, like, the guy in
yeah,
the background.
Yeah.
But it's stretched
like, the
out.
Drawing.
And so you can see how exaggerated the graph really is.
Right.
I think that was really helpful, too.
Yeah, and I find it funny how, like, we can really see. It helps us, like, see how stretched the face was.
And it's, like, interesting that they just, like, changed the wording so much, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I have a question. The national... It says in the book, it says
mm-hmm.
the national income rose 10% into... And it climbed a whopping 10%. It is vastly more effective, however, because it contains no adjectives or adverbs to spoil the illusion of the objectivity. There's nothing anyone can pin on you. How do you feel about that?
I mean, honestly, like, while it's all, like, super deceiving and, like, awful for consumers, I think it's super clever. Like, kudos to the businesses for, like, I mean, they have the information there. So if you
mm-hmm.
take the time to look at the y-axis and stuff like that, like, you can see that there's not that big of a difference. So, I mean, while it kind of sucks for us who get the products, like, I think it's clever. Like...
Yeah, I don't think it's... I mean, it's fair for them, but not for us. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at the line. They're like, oh, my God, that's
yeah.
pretty.
And
that's
good. And then they start to buy the products and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also, like, this difference between... And so I think in a later graph, they chopped off... I think it when they were talking about the government's paying and stuff like that, they chopped off the top of the graph, so it only... Or it said it maybe, no, it wasn't that one. It was in a different graph where it was explaining that it only went up to 90% or something like that. Like, it didn't go to the full 100% of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference between chopping off the bottom of the graph to make your graph seem more extreme, so, like, only having where the data is, and then,
yeah.
then chopping off the top. I don't know. It just seems like a difference in ethics.
Mm-hmm.
They also chopped the middle when it went
oh,
down.
Oh, yeah.
It even says that, like, underneath the graph,
mm-hmm.
it says note specially that the middle of the chart has been cut out.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, and I also think that it depends on how you're using the graph. So, like, if you're using a graph to sell toothpaste, go ahead, zoom it in, I don't care. But if it's about government or, like, political things, then I think there's a problem. Sort of like with that article when I was talking about the Bush and the tax rates and stuff like that, where they were having it look like such a drastic difference when it wasn't. I think that's wrong because it's misleading and a more important issue than, like, toothpaste.
Selling products.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think that that's where there's a difference.
Chapter 6, The One-Dimensional Picture.
So what I found mainly interesting for me in Chapter 6 was the whole idea of people who, like me, who are, like, visual learners, who take things more visually.
Yeah.
And prefer to, like, learn like that or view things like that. Yeah, like, read things like that. It's definitely, like, tricky when you have images that show one person's wages and, like, a little money bag. And then another person who's richer has, like, a money bag, like, four times the size of his. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's, like, a fair way of showing your data because it's not accurate, first off. It's definitely nowhere near accurate. And anyone can do that. They can just be like, oh, new.
Yeah.
For, like, it's not really like data.
Tic Tacs, yeah.
It's just, like, pictures. Harder. But then it also is, like, this thing. I don't know. To me, it just seems like if I were to see those pictures, I wouldn't take it 100 times seriously. I don't think, like, I wouldn't take the advertisement as seriously.
The
like, I'd want to see the
I
data.
I think there is people.
I know, but I feel like that's kind of, like, more, like,
wow.
Stupidity. Like, I don't know. Like, it's misleading, but it's, like, does anyone really going to look at those?
Understand.
Like, rhinos. There was, like, another point where he was like, there's also a problem where people are going to think that the cows are actually getting bigger. And it's like, no, that would just be stupid. That's not, like, that's not really in the company. I don't know. But there is this whole, like, deceiving sort of theme that's coming up with so much of this stuff.
Yeah.
So my article is on the Bush tax cuts and truncated y-axes, which... I had no idea before reading this article that this even existed. So I thought this topic was pretty interesting. What a truncated y-axis is, it's a graph, it's a bar graph that doesn't start on the zero of the y-axis. So basically, they can take your data, and your data could be, like, totally even, or interest rates could be totally normal, but with the truncated data, it can make it spike or rise and look totally new. So it's a good way for a business
to
falsify their data and make more money. But as a consumer or a person buying, you know, it's not fair.
Okay, so for the article that Mr. Miles gave us, like the link, I was looking through all the graphs and everything, and I found one that I found was really funny and interesting because I've already seen it on Facebook. It's the one about the gun death in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's like the red chart and everything. And I was on Facebook, and then I saw that, and I was like, wait. And then someone posted a comment saying, oh, look at the graph, it's upside down. And when I looked at it, it is actually upside down.
Oh,
and then
wow.
The zero is on the top, and then the 800 is on the bottom. So they totally, like, flipped the graph and flipped the y-axis. And it's just so funny because it looks like the
like
deaths are decreasing when in reality they are, like, increasing. They just flipped the graph. And I was like, wow, that is really stupid.
It's really tricky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But they kind of forgot to change the axis.
I know.
And then another thing about, like, the y-axis and everything, when I was, like, researching my own, like, the article, the individual one, I found this one about iPhones and their sales. So it's, like, Steve Jobs talking about the cumulative iPhone sales. And there's this graph. They're showing the graph, and they're, like, discussing about it. But the graph doesn't even have a y-axis. So it just has, like, the years on the bottoms, but not, like, on the bottom, but not the, you know, like, money on the y-axis. And it looks like the sales are increasing, like...
By a lot.
Yeah, by a lot, but they're really not. And then this guy actually did a graph with the reports that Apple had on their sales, and he did, like, an actual graph with the y-axis and x-axis, and then they're actually kind of decreasing the sales.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
It was tricky.
Yeah, I know I was reading an article about Colgate and some ads that they had. And in the UK, they actually banned one of their ads just because they had so much false information that was being portrayed and, like, shown to people. So they were basically implying that 80% of dentists recommended Colgate, and that the remaining 20 wanted a different brand. But they found out that that wasn't really true, and that the people that recommended Colgate pretty much just about evenly also had recommendations for other places. So it was just a really misleading article. And I thought it was really cool that UK decided to ban that, because it seems kind of like what we've been talking about is, like, is it okay for businesses to be that tricky? And it seems like they were putting their foot down saying that it wasn't.
I wish they would do that in here.
I know, right? Like, I don't... But the U.S. is just...
I don't think it would have, yeah.
We're too run by consumers to ever be like, no, we don't want to trick them, we like them.
Right.
I've read an article from the Forbes website about global warming, while looking at this article, I've realized that when they were measuring the different changes in Fahrenheit, they've measured it only for 7 months, whereas they're supposed to measure it for 12 months in a year. So while looking at this graph, I could see that from January, it started to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And it stopped at July, but it's supposed to really stop at January again, because it's a full year.
Yeah.
And so that kind of threw people off, and that's why it was this graph was classified as being misleading, because the company who came up with this graph basically showed this graph to be false.
Yeah.
You know.
It's also interesting because I feel like with global warming, you can't really just look at one year try and get information. Global warming you have to look at, like, many years to really get any idea of what's going on, because you can just have a year that's different. Like, it's not accurate data.
Right.
It's just interesting.
Yeah. How to Lie with Statistics, Chapter 7, The Semi-Attached Figure. So after reading this book, I'm aware that the author mentions a lot about percentages that sometimes would frighten people when they look at the percentages. And so sometimes when he's describing examples that are in the book, he mentions things along the lines of 10% or 20% growth in something. So I'm wondering what does that mean? And then does that mean that someone has to measure against the percentages that he provides? Because it seems as though the author is trying to make mental leaps and is trying to confuse the audience, therefore persuading them to buy products.
I definitely think there's an amount of, like, confusion that's going into, like, the numbers. Because even sometimes when I'm reading the book, I have to go back and reread them and try and figure out what the heck they're even implying, let alone what they're actually saying.
Right.
Yeah, that happened to me also with the chapter. I felt like I had to reread it a couple times to fully understand what he was talking about how it, like, affects the values.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because he gives so many examples of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for every thing that he, like, let's say, argues about, he has to have, like, an example about it. So you keep reading all of that, and I kind of get confused.
Yeah.
So only some of them, like, stick to me, let's say. Like, for example, when he was talking about the accident and how people exaggerate the figures, to scare other people, like, let's say they were saying that more people, like, are killed by airplanes now compared to 1910, but that doesn't really mean that airplanes are more dangerous now. It just means that more people travel. So he was trying to, like, I don't know, they just made it again look confusing.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I kind of like how he analyzes everything, because I would think the same thing. I would ask myself, wait, are airplanes, like, more dangerous now, or what's changing? But he kind of analyzed it, and he said, no, it's like people travel now more, and that makes sense, like, when you think about it.
Yeah, and then once you know it, it's kind of like, oh, well, duh. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, it's not, because the numbers are different. And it's definitely, like, thinking about, I think, they also really think about the target population that they're going for and stuff like that. Like, they want to make a certain impact on a certain group of people, and that's what they aim for.
Especially with health problems,
yeah.
Like, let's say medicines and stuff like that,
Mm-hmm.
They since they know that's like important stuff because it's your health, they kind of like that's when they use
yeah.
it and they try to pull you more. Like when they were talking about the medicine that could kill the cold
mm-hmm.
or something like
yeah,
that. Yeah. And I like how it kind of, I think he said this. He was like, if you can't prove what you want to prove, prove something else and demonstrate that they're both the same. So I feel like that they do that a lot.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
And then he proves it by saying that you have achieved something remarkable by carefully using this the semi-attached.
And then, like, going along, kind of back to the exaggerating thing, I remember this one time I was on the internet doing my thing, and I found this, like, article about how it was this woman who was a fitness trainer or something like that, and she had this picture of herself where she looked, like, slightly fuller. It was, like, a before and then she had an after, where she looked a lot thinner and more toned,
mm-hmm.
and she had in the comments, like, learn how I did this in just 15 minutes, and it was all about just the trickery and the photos and things like that, and so it's not even necessarily just with the numbers and statistics, like, the whole advertising, like, everything
mm-hmm.
that they're putting out there is this extreme and trick to get people to be drawn
to
in.
To buy the products that
mm-hmm.
help to...
Yeah, I find it so funny when I watch, like, commercials on TV, and when they're talking about the before, it's like the screen is like black and white, and
mm-hmm.
then the person, let's say they're talking about a hair product, the hair is like really frizzy, the woman has no makeup, she looks like she just woke up, and then the after...
She's like not smiling, but
yeah.
she's always like upset, like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then like with this face, like I hate my hair. And then
it's
the
so
after...
So animated.
Yeah, and then the after, she's like smiling, she has makeup on, which has nothing to do with the hair product. But she has makeup on.
And then, like, a fan, like, blowing her hair.
Yeah. And it looks like, it looks like they
Sprighter.
Definitely, yeah, like, they blow dry it and they strain her hair or
they, like,
curl
blow
it
out and
yeah.
everything. Yeah.
So you can tell that they did a lot of work, but it looks better because that's what they're trying to, like, fool you, I guess.
Yeah, there's definitely so much tricks. So many tricks. Not so much tricks.
And
to marketing.
Funny
yeah.
how people still buy the product and they kind of believe
yeah.
that the
product. And it's hard because, like, when you're looking at products, you're not always going to sit there and be like, well, I wonder if this statistic's true. You're like, ain't nobody got time for that. You're in a store and you're trying to buy something. And they know that. They know that you're not really going to sit there and try and analyze everything.
Chapter 8, A Post Hoc Rise Again.
So chapter 8 was mainly about correlation and causation. So I wanted to research what different, you know, false correlations and causations
mm-hmm.
are out there. So I found two really good articles I want to talk about and just read a quick excerpt from. I'll just give a summary. So the first article kind of establishes what causation and correlation actually are
yeah.
and how they're related to each other, but it also specifies, here's some examples, like children with bigger feet spell better, you know, like
yeah, yeah.
goofy things like that, and that has actually nothing to do with correlation
nothing
and causation.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a more popular correlation to causation that a lot of people believe in,
mm-hmm.
even though it's kind of ridiculous, but a lot of people believe that vaccines such as like the mumps or measles type
mm-hmm.
of vaccines are actually linked to giving kids autism,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
is a huge...
Do you know why they believe that?
No.
They just say that.
They just say that. There's no... That's what I was about to say. There's no correlation and causation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That people have actually discovered.
There's definitely
so,
a lot of people. I remember talking
yeah.
about it in a science class, actually,
mm-hmm.
where we discussed, like...
And it's dangerous, too, because kids aren't getting these vaccines that they need.
Yeah, and then they're
getting
sick.
And then they're
getting
really sick.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was, like, a really
That's interesting.
Interesting point that, you know...
Yeah.
Correlation causation is a valid show of
mm-hmm.
collecting research, but at the same time, you have people that are using it for the totally wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there isn't a, just to, like, piggyback on what Robbie was saying, there is an example in the book that talked about how smokers get bad grades in school, like, you know, students
yeah.
who smoke in school. And he assumes that this is the case that applies to everyone who smokes. But to me, I think that his argument should be false because there's no... data that basically shows how, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, it's definitely kind of like how Mr. Miles is always
saying, like, there's a lurking variable and there's probably something else going on. Like, the reason why that they want to smoke might lead them to have, like, if you're trying to be rebellious or something like that, then you're also going to be rebellious in your schoolwork, and that's something more than just smoking and bad grades.
It's like, what causes what? Let's say, like, do the bad grades, do having bad grades cause, like, the person want to smoke, or does smoking cause the bad grades? Like,
I mean, it's definitely, like, a removal of, like, any other kind of explanation. Like, it's just controlling the variables that you want to have the impact that you want them to have, and then saying, like, okay, well, then I want these things to have to do with each other, so I'm going to say that they do.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, they do that, but sometimes I don't think they realize that one variable can be good and can be bad, can have, like, positive
or
results,
negative.
Or negative. Like, when he was talking about the rain and the growing trees, he was saying that in places where it rains, the trees grow more or faster, let's say, but in places... But, okay, yeah, you would think that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think he didn't, like, the person didn't think about the places where it rains a lot, where the rain...
Too much.
Yeah, too much, where, like, the rain could actually become a bad thing.
Like, flooding and all that.
Mm-hmm. And the crops get, like, damaged and everything.
Yeah. Like, monsoons.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 9, How to Statisticulate.
So this chapter was kind of hard for me to understand, but what I really got out of it was just how... percentages can give you a really, like, wrong idea of what's going on, the way that they use it. So, like, for me, when I go out and I see sales and stuff like that, if it's, like, multiple different things, like, percentages, I always get confused, and that's kind of, like, exactly what this chapter is talking about, which is kind of crazy. Just, like, how they add up percentages to look like you have a bigger deal than you actually have. So, I mean, when they were saying... I think it was one of them, but the selling price was, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was like 20%, and then it said, from that 20%, you get 30%, and automatically in my head, I go, oh, that means I get 50% off that product, that's really great, but really what it's saying is, I got 20% off, and then from what was taken away from the 20%, then only 30% of that, so it's really very little that I'm getting off of the deal, which is pretty sneaky.
This chapter is really confusing because what Rose was talking about, I kind of didn't really understand what they meant by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And also they were saying, like, oh, it was like an example about flowers. It's like flowers are now like 100% cheaper than they were before. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense at all. How is something going to be 100% cheaper now than it was before? I just didn't understand that.
I think there was another one that was saying that it was like, the product was selling at a profit of 3,800%.
What?
I was like, what? How can something be more than 100%?
Yeah.
And I, even when he explained it, I really didn't understand what I was trying, and I, like, kept rereading it, which just didn't make sense to me. Like, how someone could even write that, and people are like, oh, yeah, 100%.
Really they should really stick with the terms 100% instead of going over.
I know. Why do they have to be so?
Because people don't know how to really do math like that. You can't just, like, pull out a calculator while you're in the store.
I don't even
and,
understand,
like, figure out how much money you're.
I just don't understand. Do you just, like, add a bunch of percentages? Like, I don't even know.
Mm-mm.
This chapter was crazy, and I didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty
talked about the same things as before. It was also talking about, like, the averages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, the median and the mode and, like, whatever they use.
It was just kind of, like, going over everything that he'd already talked about, and it kind of seemed redundant to me. Yeah.
Chapter 10, How to Talk Back to a Statistic.
So honestly, this chapter is kind of like what I've been waiting for him to do the entire book, because it feels like for each chapter and each way that people lie with statistics, I was kind of hoping that he would have some kind of, like, counter to it, but it seems like he was just telling us that they were lying, and then he only gives a chapter on how to, like, defend it or, like, figure it out. And I don't know. I don't think that's really fair. I don't know.
Well, I kind of was waiting for it, too. I was like, well, how do I know if they're lying to me? How do I know if they're trying to, like, if it makes sense or something like that?
Like, I get that you know because you're, like, really good with statistics.
Yeah.
But you can't get mad at all consumers everywhere just because they can't figure out what you can.
If you're going to have a book that says how to lie with statistics, I think that you should expand the last chapter throughout the book.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it should have been a chapter. It should have been, like
well,
how he formatted.
Well, had a little bit of each of chapter 10 throughout each chapter.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And then, like, maybe a review, like, a conclusion,
yeah.
kind of, like, so what we've been learning throughout this
mm-hmm.
whole thing is that we want to do these steps. But it seems like he was like, and then just here are these five questions, you know, and it's like all those examples you could have said, like, here's how you would do, figure it out.
And that's kind of, I feel like what he's saying is kind of like basic stuff, like who says so is like the first one.
Yeah.
It's like that's kind of like basic, like, yeah, they're going to say who's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how does he know? How am I going to know how the company came out with those?
Exactly. Like, you can't just call them
crafts.
And be like, I want to find out if this toothpaste commercial is honest. So, like, can you tell me where
yeah,
all
Yeah, do doctors
are?
Really recommend it? Like, how am I going to know?
Like, how am I going to get all that information? Ain't nobody got time to be, like,
yeah.
looking up all that.
You just can't believe anything.